for our Bible reading, we turn to the Psalms and to Psalm 102. Psalm 102, parts of which you will doubtless recognize as being quoted in the first chapter to Hebrews. But we read here in the 102nd Psalm, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping, because of thine indignation and thy wrath. For thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure for ever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favour her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and favour the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together, and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. He weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. And may the Lord bless to us and grant us an understanding of Holy Scripture. Amen. Amen. If the Jews of old had wanted to know of the lineage of Melchizedek, they would have looked in vain in their genealogies, which of course post-dated him by a considerable time. Likewise, they would not find him in the tribe of Levi, from which branch and family the high priests of old descended. They would look in vain in those chronologies of their pedigree to find for Melchizedek any beginning of his days or any end recorded them, any father or mother's name, because he was not a priest of the tribe of Levi or of the order of Aaron. Likewise, the Lord Jesus Christ, who had, of course, a chronology, was nevertheless not to be found amongst the Levites, but from the tribe of Judah. And yet he too was a priest, made a priest not according to that old system which appointed it to the eldest son of Aaron and to his eldest son after him, but rather the Lord Jesus Christ is made priest by the express commandment and oath of God, even as Melchizedek was, made a priest like the Son of God was made a priest by the express command of God himself. Now, this is no mere technicality, my friends. It is very important to our understanding of how great the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ is and how far superior to that Old Testament system of priests. Because as we observe, that Aaronic system where there was a format, there was a carnal commandment which made persons priests, it was somewhat defective. It had its weaknesses. For the law, Hebrews 7 verse 28, maketh men high priests which have infirmity. We observe in the histories of the Old Testament how some very unsuitable and unfit men came to that position by default, by virtue of that old commandment. And likewise, we are told that that law, that system, verse 19 of Hebrews 7, made nothing perfect. It could bring them to the office, but it could not make them better men. It would not transform them into more appropriate and befitting individuals. We thought of the case of Eli and Hophni and Phinehas, his sons, recorded for us in Samuel. But those who are made priests by the oath of God are priests of a very different kind. They cannot be disqualified. They do not cease because they have failed in some way. They are not succeeded by someone else in the following generation. No, indeed. Melchizedek was a priest from the time God appointed him until his natural days had an end. The Lord Jesus Christ is likewise made our priest by the express direction and oath of God, concerning which Hebrews 6 reminds us that God, in thus acting, in appointing Christ our great high priest, shows more abundantly to the heirs of promise, to you and I, the immutability of his counsel. For he confirmed it by an oath in two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, namely his nature and his word, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope which is before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. My friends, what comfort, what confidence, what strong consolation we can have thinking upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his priesthood, knowing that it is made by the oath of God, and as such it is solid and secure and dependable and will not end. Now it is upon this point that we continue this evening to look at the final words in Hebrews 7 verse 3, because concerning Melchizedek we are told that like him, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Abideth a priest continually. Now, we looked at how Christ's priesthood was appointed last time by the oath of God. We consider this evening the duration of his priesthood, the duration of it. And it is described in these terms: continual and everlasting. Now, will you notice with me how many times this particular point is stressed in the epistle to the Hebrews? So, for example, here are just some of the places we find it. Hebrews 5, verse 6, these quotations of Psalm 110, of course, as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We read those same words quoted in chapter 6, verse 20. Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We have this verse before us in chapter 7, verse 3. Abideth a priest continually. Likewise, in verse 16 of chapter 7, we are told that he is made a priest after the power of an endless life. And again in verse 17, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It is there again in verse 21, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 24 reiterates the same truth. This man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Even in the concluding verse of chapter 7, it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, who is consecrated, who is sanctified, who is set into that office of priest for evermore. For evermore. Now, let us for a moment compare, or rather contrast, the durations of the priesthoods of the Aaronic priests and of Melchizedek and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us think of the duration of the Aaronic priesthood. It is true that there are certain verses concerning Aaron and his sons that we might read in Exodus and other places, such as that passage in Samuel which we read last time, which seemed to speak of Aaron and his sons being made priests forever. But we must understand that there are different ways in which the scripture uses that expression, forever. And indeed, in respect of Aaron and his sons, we might understand it better if we translated it in a way like this, that they were forever acting as priests, that they were always doing the functions of priests. They did it continuously, offering continually, we read here in the description of them in Hebrews. And yet, the extent of that priesthood was not eternal in the sense that God, for example, is eternal. It was appointed for the age, or throughout the age in which they lived and functioned. It was as perpetual as the Old Covenant era was perpetual. But as we know, it came to a close. God, in those solemn words to Eli, which we read in 1 Samuel, speaks of a time when it would come to an end. And come to an end it most certainly did. For as Paul himself reminds us here in Hebrews 7, perfection did not come by that Levitical priesthood, and another priest has arisen. The priesthood has been changed. The old system has ended, says Paul. It has passed away. So it was continuous, and it did persist as long as the old covenant era persisted. But that was the limit of it. And then if we consider individual priests, you observe that their tenure and the period of their service was even more limited. Because we are told concerning those Aaronic priests, those priests of the tribe of Levi, they were men that died. That was a striking feature, a common feature of them all. They're described in Hebrews 7, verse 8. And here, men that die receive tithes. And likewise, in verse 23, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Their priesthood was limited by so many things. We considered last time all those various factors that could bring about an end to their priesthood. They might fail in the duties of priest. They might fall under the judgment of God. If they intermarried outside of the tribes of Israel, they would be disqualified. If they suffered particular injuries, they would be disqualified from service. All manner of things could happen to jeopardize their priestly service and to bring it to an untimely end. And even if none of those things arose in the course of their lives, then their own mortality limited it, and they died. Now, the priesthood of Melchizedek was better than theirs, was superior to theirs, because the priesthood of Melchizedek was appointed by oath of God. And he was told that he would be God's priest, and that his priesthood was not subject to all those risks that the Aaronic priesthood was. And as long as his life endured, Melchizedek functioned as priest. And it also seems evident from the Old Testament description of him that he appears to have been a man of great seniority, particularly in terms of age, that he was a man of very long life. Indeed, verse 8 of Hebrews 7 seems to be alluding to this when it says of Melchizedek, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth, of whom the Genesis record gives testimony to the longevity of Melchizedek's life. And God said he would be a priest perpetually, as long as his days on earth lasted. He did not need to fear that he would fail or be disqualified or that his priesthood would be brought to an untimely end. He was not going to have to give place to a successor and pass on his priesthood to another. It was his and his alone as long as his life should last. A very superior position to that of Aaron and his sons and successors. But Melchizedek himself was a man, and though he appears to have had great longevity, even his days came to an end. His death not recorded in the Levitical genealogies may be, but nevertheless he was mortal, and the duration of his priesthood ceased. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Hebrew epistle tells us, is, like Melchizedek, made a priest by the oath of God. And God says, as it were, to the Lord Jesus Christ, that as long as his days endure, he will continue to be priest. And as long as that age continues in the which Christ is appointed priest, he will ever be priest. Now, my friends, there is, of course, a great difference between Christ and Melchizedek. And this, Paul stresses that, yes, Christ's priesthood is more alike to Melchizedek's, but look how much superior it is. For he says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that he is made a priest, verse 16, after the power of an endless life. And do you remember what we have been taught about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ already in this book of Hebrews and in chapter 1? There are those quotations concerning him from Psalm 102, which we read. And we are told this, Hebrews 1, verse 8, but unto the Son he saith, these verses we are told speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. The Lord Jesus Christ is immortal. The Lord Jesus Christ will never die. He took on a mortal form, and he died man's death. But it did serve only to manifest his power over death itself. And he rose again in, as Hebrews here tells us, the power of an endless life. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ's own testimony concerning himself as reported by John here in the Revelation chapter 1. John says, "Seeing the Lord in his glorified form, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last, and I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore." God says to Aaron, as long as your days shall endure, you shall be priest. Aaron's days could be cut short by death, by failure, by disqualification, by his successor being appointed. To Melchizedek, God says, thou art a priest as long as thy days shall last. He could not be disqualified. He would not fail. He would not have a successor, and he was granted great longevity of life. To the Son, he saith, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, as long as thy days will endure. And my friends, we are told his years shall not fail. He has no end. There is no conclusion. There is no time when the Son of God will not be. Indeed, time itself will end, but he remaineth. Think then, my friends, what this means concerning his priesthood. As his life has no end, his priesthood has no end. And likewise, we said that for Aaron and his sons and his successors, that system of priesthood, that order of priesthood, was to last as long as the old covenant lasted. And yet, my friends, it came to its conclusion. It was brought to its end. It vanished and passed away. We, by grace, are called in this New Testament age. The Lord Jesus Christ is appointed the great high priest of our profession in this New Covenant age. And my friends, it is called the New Covenant for a reason, because there are only two in this sense. There is the Old Covenant era, and there is the New Covenant era. There is not a third. There is not another period of time coming in the purposes of God. There is not another season. The Lord Jesus Christ has been appointed priest, we might say, from the time when God, in a timeless eternity, said, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, and it will continue as long as God continues, which is quite literally forever. Now, my friends, the perpetuity of Christ's priesthood, the fact that it is as eternal as he himself, has very significant implications and gives us great cause for joy, just as the matter of his being appointed priest by oath of God is so blessed for us. We find that the eternity of his priesthood is likewise blessed. Now, my friends, think how it must have been for those Aaronic priests in the Old Testament age. If they had a true sense of their duty and their service, if they had a real concern for the sins of the people and making an atonement for the people, think how it must have been to function as a priest then, the burden of responsibility and the weight of those duties. Think if Aaron or his successor Eleazar or his successor Phinehas, the good Phinehas, think of them and how it must have been for them if they were concerned for the sins of the people of Israel and earnestly desired that they might make atonement for them. Day after day, they offered sacrifices and they brought the offerings that God had appointed for the sins of the people. But day after day, the people continued to sin. And so more sacrifices must be made and more offerings must be given. But no sooner were those offerings made and those sacrifices given than the people sinned again. What a weariness it must have been. What a burden. What an utterly fruitless, yea, an impossible task for those Aaronic priests if they desired that the sins of the people might be completely expunged. just could not be done. No sooner were sacrifices made than more sins were committed and more sacrifices needed. And let us perhaps that imagine that one of these priests thought, well, perhaps if I labour at this long enough and hard enough and offer sufficient sacrifices, there might come a day, there might come a time when all the sins of all the people are expunged and are atoned for, and propitiation is made and some state of perfection is reached. And yet even those priests, Aaron, Eleazar, Phinehas, Zadok, those whom we read of throughout Old Testament history, would soon become conscious of a fact that they were getting old, that they were failing, that their strength was waning, that they had spent all their adult lives and all their time of service offering sacrifices, but now they were growing weaker and they were growing less capable, and a time would soon come when they must be literally divested of their priestly garments and they must pass them on to a successor and hope that the successor might succeed where they had failed, and that perhaps, just maybe, one day a time might be reached when the sacrifices and offerings made might outweigh the weight of sin of the people. And yet, of course, that time never came. It could never come. And though there were offerings and sacrifices being made by the Aaronic priests since the days of Aaron himself until 70 AD, when those things were brought to their ultimate and final conclusion, never once did they get near to expunging all the sins of all the people. And my friends, if they had stopped to consider the situation more widely, they might perhaps have realized how small a number of people they were making sacrifices on behalf of. And the fact that even if they had got to an end of all Israel's sins, what about others throughout the world? What about believing Gentiles? What of them? What of their sins? And of course, as the years progressed, the population of the people only increased, and with the increase of the population, an increase of sin. It was utterly impossible for them, in their service of priesthood, to achieve that end and to fully expunge the sins of the people. And perhaps, and we speculate here, Aaron or Eleazar or Phinehas or as other Old Testament priests might have thought, to ever do this job properly, to ever accomplish this design of expunging the sins of the people and making a full atonement for them, I would need to live forever. I would need to be able to outlast all the people and all their sins. I would need to be able to offer more sacrifices than they have sins to commit or mortal lives in which to commit them. And then perhaps the mission might be accomplished and the object achieved. But of course they could not do it because they were not immortal. They were men like you or I who grew old and who died and who were succeeded by the next generation. But my friends, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have one who is eternal. We have one who is a priest with the power of an endless life. And suddenly, we see that there is a priest who stands a chance of accomplishing the seemingly impossible and being able to offer sufficiently and serve as a priest for a sufficient duration that he might come to an end of offering for our sins. The marvel of it is, my friends, that the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished that purpose and has achieved that object, not by an eternity of sacrifices, but by one sacrifice. But more of that in another study. For the time being, let us come to Hebrews 7 and see the implications of the Lord Jesus' eternal priesthood. And here it is contained mostly in verses 24 and 25 of Hebrews 7. But this man, says Paul, speaking of the Lord Jesus, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us. Now, contained in those two verses, my friends, let me say, are three very important consequences of the Lord Jesus' eternal priesthood. Because he continueth ever, says Paul, because he is immortal and cannot die. Here are the consequences. One, he hath an unchangeable priesthood. An unchangeable priesthood. Now, this word is very significant. It is very important to us. It means, on one level, it is an intransmissible priesthood. It will never be necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ to pass his office on to another. He will never yield it up to another individual, to no one in heaven or upon earth, human or angelic. There will not be a change made in this order of priesthood that the Lord Jesus Christ should cease and another should succeed in it. His priesthood is his own, and it is his own unchangeably. It is unchangeable, my friends, in this sense. It will not wane or diminish. It will not prove itself to be ineffectual at any time. You know, we spoke of that Aaronic priesthood and said that as long as the Jewish nation continued, the population increased. But the number of high priests did not increase. The longevity of their lives did not increase. We might say that as the population of Israel got greater and greater, but the number of priests remained the same, the number of sacrifices, annual feasts remained the same, they must, on a mathematical basis, have been less effectual. There were more people, there were more sins. They were fighting, we might say, a losing battle. But my friends, the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ does not diminish, does not weaken. As more and more are in due time brought to salvation and by the power of the gospel are saved and added to his eternal kingdom, there is no fear that his priesthood is being diminished, that its virtue is being worn down, because it does not change. It does not weaken. It does not decay. And my friends, his priesthood also is unchangeable in this sense. It will never need amending. It will never need correcting. It will never need improving upon. Oh, the priesthood of Aaron of old, a change was needed to that. Hebrews 7 verse 12 tells us, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. That Aaronic priesthood, it served as an illustration, as an object lesson, as a signpost to direct us to better things, but then it had served its purpose. Then it needed to be superseded. Then it needed to be replaced by something better. The fullness needed to be brought in. But my friends, this fulfillment, this fullness, the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that will not give way to something else. It is not an interim measure. It is not a transitory thing. It is unchangeable. It is unchanging. It is forever. My friends, any far-seeing Israelite of old who had perhaps realized the inherent futility of their Aaronic system might have thought, well, surely these things can't last forever. Indeed, any godly Israelite must have trembled to see seasons when the likes of Eli or Hophni were functioning as priests and despaired of the whole thing. But my friends, we have no such fear. We have no such anxieties. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, because he continueth ever, his priesthood is like himself, immutable, changeless, continual. But still it goes on. verse 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Wherefore, because of his immortality, because of his perpetuity, because of those things, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. You see, where Aaron and his sons had this fundamental problem, that they simply could not get to an end of the people's sins, that they could never get to an end of sacrificing because they were mortal and because they were frail and because them and their order was passing away, the Lord Jesus Christ has no such problem, no such constraint, no such limitation. Because he is eternal, he is able to save to the uttermost them who come unto God by him. He is able to make perfect atonement and a full propitiation and a complete and entire sacrifice for everyone who comes to God by him, for everyone for whom he stands as priest, absolutely and entirely, to the uttermost. Oh, my friends, Aaron and his descendants could have spent their lives offering sacrifices just for their own sins and not have come to an end of it. And they had the whole of the nation of Israel to think about as they offered their daily sacrifices, yea, their hourly sacrifices. But my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he continueth ever, because he is immortal, is able to render satisfaction for all those who come unto God by him, to the uttermost. Yes, those believing people amongst the Jews of old, but not limited to them. His believing people in every nation, tribe, and tongue. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to make, is to function as priest for them to the uttermost parts of the earth, to remote and previously unheard places such as the British Isles, which had never entered into the minds of Aaron and his descendants. The Lord Jesus Christ's priesthood, fellow believer, prevails for you and I here in this place, in our day and generation, because of his immortality. He is able to save to the uttermost parts of the earth, and, my friends, able to save us from the uttermost degradations of sin. Perhaps Aaron and his sons, as they slayed sheep after goat, after bullock, after ram, after pigeon, and so forth, thought perhaps there were sins being committed amongst the people, that even all these sacrifices, even in their aggregate and in their grand total, would not suffice to purge away. But my friends, we have no fear when it comes to the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is able to save his people. He is able to make intercession for his people to the uttermost parts of the earth and from the uttermost degradations of sin. Because he knows their sins. He knows your sins and mine, fellow believer. We think to our shame that he knows every sin that we have thus far committed. And we tremblingly acknowledge that he knows all those ones which, alas, we are yet to commit. But because of his immortality, because of his infinity, because he is without limit or constraint, he is able to save us from the uttermost of them. And likewise, my friends, the verse you will notice does not simply speak about being saved from the uttermost place or from the uttermost depth of sin, but it says that we will be saved to the uttermost. That is to say, be promoted to that state of perfection in the sight of God, to be brought to that state not only of complete sinlessness, being purged from iniquities and being cleansed from all our guiltiness, but my friends, likewise, he has accomplished for us a perfect righteousness, which he likewise imputes upon us. Oh, here was something which the Aaronic priests could never do. They could perhaps make sacrifices for sins committed. They could make offerings to God as the law required. But they could not make the people positively righteous. Sacrifices were never designed to do that. They could not render a sufficient satisfaction or perfection unto God. But my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ can. The Lord Jesus Christ does. He saves all his people from the uttermost parts of the earth, from the uttermost degradations of sins, and promotes them to the uttermost, the ultimate perfections of righteousness. And this he can do. This he is of power to achieve because he is so great, because he continueth ever. And you see the third consequence of his eternity is given here in verse 25. Wherefore, he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see, the Aaronic priesthood was so weak, wasn't it? Because it was staffed by weak men, because it was supplied by mortal, finite men. Men who perhaps at best could work for 8 or maybe 12 hours, maybe at a push 16 hours in the day, but they had to sleep, they had to rest, they became ill on times, they became weak, they became aged. There were times when the people were sinning, and at that moment the priest was asleep, the priest was not functioning, the temple courts were not in the process of offering sacrifices, but sin was ongoing. But my friends, we have no such fear. We have no such anxiety with our great high priest, because he continueth ever, and he ever liveth to make intercession for us. We do not have to wait for the annual day of atonement to come around to know that our high priest is functioning for us in the most holy place. We do not have to wait till the hours of daylight to make our prayers unto the heavens. Because the Lord Jesus Christ continueth ever and ever liveth to make intercession. Any moment, every moment of every day, in every place. My friends, we can be on our knees in our bedrooms here in Biddeford offering some confession of our sins unto God, and Christ makes intercession for us. And simultaneously, perhaps in his purposes, there are 100, there are 1,000 other Christians throughout the world praying simultaneously, confessing their sins. He makes intercession for them as well. It is no problem, it is no difficulty, it's no challenge to him, because he continueth ever, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He hears our every prayer. He intercedes every time. I say it reverently, there is not a waiting list, there is not a queue that must be joined. We do not have to wait until fewer people are praying in order to pray ourselves. He ever liveth to make intercession. And my friends, he ever liveth to make intercession, even when we are not praying. You see, the Jews of old must come to the temple bringing their gifts, bringing their offerings, made conscious of sin, in order that they might be offered for them. What about occasions when they were not able? What about occasions when they forgot? Then they must trust to the sacrifices that were being made in general, on behalf of the people at large. But do you see how much better, how far superior our priest is, that he ever liveth to make intercession for us? As often as we are living, as often as we are sinning, he is making intercession. It does not require even that we ask him, because he continueth ever. He knows what we have need of. He knows our sins, even before perhaps we are conscious of them ourselves. How many, many sins, alas, do we commit that we are never even aware of? Such is our limited understanding of his holiness and our wickedness. Christ knows, and he makes intercession for them. And you see, my friends, this is the grounds for our confidence in our salvation. This is how we know that we are safe and secure and will be preserved, because he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And perhaps we say, well, yes, we understand the continuity of Christ's priesthood, that he intercedes for us even now whilst we are upon earth. But we might say, will not a time come, indeed at the end of time, at the consummation of all things, when all the people of God are brought safely to heaven at the last, and they are entirely free from sin, and they are not committing iniquity anymore? Will there then perhaps come a time when Christ's offering on our behalf, his priesthood, will no longer be needed? No, my friends, there will not. Because let us consider this. Our continued presence in heaven, our right to be there in the sight of God, in the presence of his holiness, and to enjoy heaven for an eternity to come, is all absolutely and utterly dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon that sacrifice that he made, and upon the fact that he forever presents his blood and shows the evidence of his sufferings in heaven above. No, we will have no need of prayer, for we shall see God face to face and commune as friend with friend. But the presentation of the merits of Christ and the virtue of his blood will be the guarantee of our continuance in heaven. And we will continue forever there because he continues forever there, and because he ever liveth to present himself on our behalf, to make intercession on our behalf, that we might be secure in that eternity, in that place above. The hymn writer captures it so beautifully, and let me conclude with these words, who said, "Rise, my soul, behold, 'tis Jesus, Jesus fills thy wondering eyes. See him now in glory seated, where thy sins no more can rise. There, in righteousness transcendent, lo, he doth in heaven appear, shows the blood of his atonement as thy title to be there. Blessed, glorious word forever. Yea, forever is the word. Nothing can the ransomed sever, nought divide them from the Lord." May we once again be blessed in our considerations of him. Amen. Amen.